What's up, guys? I'm Kevin Lapka.
And I'm Ryan Talley.
Week 9, the Sunday games are now over, including the Thursday game. We still have the Monday night game tonight, but a lot went on this week, a lot of cool performances, so we're going to go over the best of Week 9 on Sunday and Thursday. That being said, we are going to start with that Thursday night game, the San Francisco 49ers versus the Oakland Raiders. At home, the 49ers have won 34-3 with Nick Mullins having an absolutely ridiculous debut, 262 yards and 3 touchdowns for the most productive NFL debut since the merger, while the Oakland Raiders, again, are 1-7 now, only scoring 3 points against a 2-7 San Francisco 49ers team and letting a third-string quarterback drop 34 points on them. Just what did you see from Nick Mullins in this game and then possibly the future outlook for the Oakland Raiders at this point?
Yeah, well, this was a big debut for him. He came in after Beathard was injured. Mm-hmm. It looked like he wasn't going to play all week, but Nick Mullins did step up in the Thursday night game. Everybody was saying that this should be an easy win for the Raiders.
Right.
And what we've saw is what we've seen the entire season so far from the Raiders, and that is that they don't want to play football. At least it doesn't look like it. They come out and they're slow, they're sluggish, and they're not prepared. They think they got it easy against a rookie quarterback making his NFL debut. And he comes out and he absolutely destroys them. And John Gruden needs some answers. I don't know if this is all him or what, but to come back to coaching after 10 years and start 1-7,
right,
not a good look right now.
I mean, it's one thing to have, like, all right, like, we know the Oakland Raiders are not very talented, but neither are the 49ers. And what you don't want to see is a team be unprepared. That is a sign of a coach that is, you know, not getting the players ready to play throughout the week. I know it's a Thursday night game. It's hard to get them prepared from a Sunday to a Thursday. I know it's always difficult, but you at least want to see them go out there and fight and put up a battle. And they were doing that earlier in the season, and now it's just not there. And if you're the Raiders, you got all these picks, and it's like, okay, people are kind of accepting the fate of the Raiders in the future, how they got all the picks. But look, the odds of John Gruden hitting on every one of those picks are very low. Yeah, he'll hit on a few, and you got some very high picks in the coming years, so hopefully those players will be what you expect them to be. But, you know, those later round picks that you have, you don't know that John Gruden's going to hit every one of those picks, because he surely didn't do that with Tampa Bay when he was the coach over there. So it's nice to have those picks, but you don't really know what John Gruden's going to be able to do with them. But again, Nick Mullins, I really think this kid is the real deal. I loved something I loved was the post game in the locker room, just the way he reacted with the players after the game. That he seemed like a leader. In his first NFL game as a third string quarterback, he seemed like a leader. When he walked onto the field for each drive, he did not look phased at all. He looked absolutely ready to go. And, you know, this is a guy who broke all of Brett Favre's records in college. And now if you're the 49ers and this guy continues to exceed at the end of the year, they take him on a little run, you got Jimmy Garoppolo. You can trade this guy for, you know, some draft capital or something like that.
I definitely think some teams are going to be calling.
Oh, for
every
sure.
single year there's always a quarterback situation where they're just looking for a guy who could maybe step up and be a pleasant surprise, or just play a couple games until the rookie quarterback is ready.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even the Raiders, if they're not feeling Derek Carr by the end of the year, because he did not have a good game on Thursday. So Derek Carr's not been looking good all year. He didn't look great last year. A few years back, he almost won the MVP, but he does not look like that same player that he once was.
Right, so impressive debut for Nick Mullins. We'll see what he can do the rest of the season, but Raiders not looking too good. Hopefully, at least Derek Carr shows something, but that's about it for that one. Let's move on now to, we're going to do Pittsburgh versus Baltimore. Not a dominating victory, but a must-needed victory for the Steelers. They kind of proved where they are now, and this is, look, the Baltimore Ravens are 4-5. This is a team about 2 weeks ago was in the top 7, top 8 of a lot of people's power rankings. They were just absolutely dominant on defense, and they've lost some close games, but Steelers, like we said earlier in the year, have taken control of the AFC North. Big game for them. We saw Roethlisberger go down. I thought it was a collarbone. He returned the next two play in the next He missed it like one or two plays, I think. He came back and led them to the victory. But what'd you see from this one, and do you think the Baltimore Ravens have a shot at making the playoffs?
Well, what I saw was that the Pittsburgh Steelers are back, even though Le'Veon Bell is still not back. I think this Pittsburgh team, they started off slow. They didn't get a win through the first couple weeks of the season, but they have picked up where they left off last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're rolling right now. This game was close, but it never really felt like the Ravens had a shot. Yeah, it was only a 7-point game, but it seemed like the Steelers were in control the entire game. James Conner had another big day, and it's going to be interesting soon because Le'Veon Bell has until Tuesday the 13th, I believe, at 4 p.m. to report.
Did you see the tweet?
He tweeted out today that he's leaving Miami.
He's leaving Miami.
But Pittsburgh still has not heard anything from him, so that's not a guarantee that he's coming back yet. But this Ravens team, I mean, they look like they were for sure going to get into the playoffs, and now it's getting interesting on if they can or not, and I think they're definitely looking at only a wild card at this point. I think the Steelers are going to run away with this division.
Right.
Maybe Cincinnati puts up a fight, but I'm not really...
I don't know.
They're pretty inconsistent, but Baltimore, it's just... It's not looking good with them right now, especially when they can't really get their offense going.
Right. I mean, it's more offensively for me. I mean, yeah, they only sacked Roethlisberger one time, but, you know, you hold the Pittsburgh Steelers and that offense to 23 points, that's not bad at all. And at this point, you know, no one's talking about it, but I don't know. I think it's too risky, but you may see if the Ravens drop one or two more, you may see them try to go with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. I mean, at this point, you know the defense is doing well, but you just don't have that guy that puts you over the edge on offense. Joe Flacco's not that guy. You know, 23 for 37, 260 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He's just not doing enough. He missed... I don't know if you saw, they're in the red zone. He missed Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson lineup as a wide receiver. Wide open. He didn't even throw to Lamar Jackson wide open. He tried to fit it into a tight window. And at this point, it's almost like... I think it's too risky at this point. But if they drop a few more and it's starting to look like playoffs are pretty much out of the picture, you're going to see them go to Lamar Jackson and take that risk and see what he's got. So... interesting they didn't keep an eye on, but yes, as we predicted, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to definitely run away from the AFC North, and Le'Veon Bell may be back. He has until the 13th, so we will see, but you know, James Conner right now is currently having one of the best seasons a running back could possibly have. I think he has broken a few records, can't remember exactly which ones, but he has the most touchdowns by any Steelers player through the first 8 games of a season. He is currently outperforming Le'Veon Bell from last season, so interesting to see what happens, but the Steelers seem to be doing just fine without Le'Veon. All the dramas around it, you know, everyone wants to keep an eye on it, but it's all right, Steelers. You are doing all right.
He's a dynamic player, but the Steelers don't look like they're missing him right now.
Mm-mm.
But the Ravens still need to pick up their run game. They had 61 rushing yards this week. I think that's the biggest problem. I know Joe Flacco, he's not the most dominant quarterback, and he probably does have to pick up his game a little bit, but when you only rush the ball 16 times and get 61 yards, it's not great. They got to figure out that run game. Alex Collins had a pretty good year last year, and this year it looks like he's not the same guy he was last year.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. When you don't have a great quarterback, you need to get your run game going. If you can't get the run game going, it's just you're going to struggle very, very bad on offense.
Yep, so definitely something to keep an eye on over there in Baltimore. Let's move on now to the Chicago Bears and a dominating performance against the Buffalo Bills and Nathan Peterman. They have won 41-9. The Chicago Bears defense scored more points than the Buffalo offense. Just an outright... destroy domination, all assert of dominance over the Buffalo Bills for the Chicago Bears. What'd you see from this one and a complete dominant game from the Bears?
Yeah, I'm not sure how the Bills continue to roll Nathan Peterman out there. I mean,
we know at this point he's the only one there. Well, they had Matt Barkley, but Derek Anderson was injured.
Josh Allen's practicing, and they're optimistic that he will play this week.
Yes.
But I mean, this is just, it's bad for the Bills. It's bad for Nathan Peterman. I mean, he threw 3 interceptions and 0 touchdowns. And get this, his career quarterback or passer rating actually went up this week.
Yes, after throwing 3 interceptions and a pick six.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know how this guy just, unless we're all just missing something, I don't know. But I don't really know how he continues to start in this league. Maybe a backup, but I don't know how he's starting. But the Bears' defense went off again without Khalil Mack, which is even more impressive.
Yeah.
And this game was really over pretty early.
28 points in the second quarter.
Yeah, once the Bears got those 2 defensive touchdowns, that pretty much signaled the end of the game.
I will say this. I will say this. Peterman did not look as bad as what the stats say, simply because if you look, if you look at the, okay, one play is a fumble stripped by Eddie Jackson. He takes it to the house. Don't blame that on Peterson. He didn't even cause that. The pick six he threw, it's just a great play by Kyle. The ball is there, but Kyle Fuller just gets there earlier within the line of scrimmage, is able to hit him, which pops the ball up. It wasn't even that bad of a throw from Peterman. Interception where it's right in Terrell Pryor's hands, but Kyle Fuller just kind of, you know, toys with it, and it pops up in the air, intercepted by Adrian Amos, and then he does make a bad throw where it's cut off by Fuller. But, you know, he didn't look too bad. But, of course, when you see those 3 interceptions in a pick six in the stat line, everyone's going to harp on him, you know, with Nathan Peterman. But right now, this is all they got for the Bills. And we talked about it last week. You should have kept AJ McCarron. This is all on you, Buffalo. Can't blame anyone but yourselves. But, yes, to this defense, the Bears are the 4th team since 1940 to score 40-plus points while having recorded less than 200 total yards on offense. If you want to say anything about the Bears' offense, don't be worried about it at all. Jordan Howard was productive. That's finally what you want to see. They just weren't on the field a lot, which is because their defense scored so many points, and the defense, you know, was making all these plays. They were not on the field for a very long time. But encouraging from Jordan Howard, Mitch Trubisky looked fine. This is a Bears team that now has a very tough 3-game stretch. Takeaway, they actually just got flexed in to Sunday Night Football with their game at home against the Minnesota Vikings week 12. They flexed out the Pittsburgh Steelers versus Jacksonville Jaguars game and put in a divisional NFC North matchup. So that will surely be a fun one. But the Bears have the Lions next week and the Buffaloes, the Buffalo Bills 2-7. Hopefully when Josh Allen comes back, he can show a little bit more. But, and again, their defense, Buffalo, not that bad. They shut the Bears down in the first quarter. I will say that. They're not that bad. But, again, Nathan Peterman, that offense threw the game away for them. So, a few things need to be fixed in Buffalo offensively. But defense, pretty encouraging. We're going to go now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers. Huge dominating win for the Carolina Panthers. 42-28, a Panthers win. The defense looked great. Cam Newton continues to play well at this point of the season. The Panthers are now 6-2, but still second in the NFC South. But this surely looks like a team that could be a threat in the NFC. While the Buccaneers have, at this point, I'd say, dropped out of the playoff picture. What did you see from this one?
Yeah, the Panthers came out strong. I think they started off the game, it was 35-7, 35-0, and
35-3.
Ryan Fitzpatrick actually got this game back to within one score, and then the Panthers scored again. But this Panthers team, they look really good. Cam Newton is throwing the ball a little bit better. Christian McCaffrey running the ball, I think he's a key to making sure their offense stays balanced. He can catch the ball in the backfield, can rush the ball. I think he is the biggest key for them to be a dominant offense. Cam Newton, just like I said, he's throwing the ball a little bit better. Only 6 incompletions, so that's definitely a good sign for him. He's rushing the ball 11 carries, which I think that is actually a good thing for them. He's so big, he's so fast that when you can get him in open space, good things are going to happen most of the time. The other thing is Greg Olsen, back to what he was before all the injuries. Cam Newton's looking for him. He had 6 catches and a touchdown, 76 yards. So the injury concerns with him are over. But this Tampa Bay team, it's like somehow they continue to stay in these games, but they just keep losing them.
Yep. They came back, but Panthers outlasted them.
I think this was officially the end for them. I don't think.
Oh yeah, I think it's
at 3-5. I think it's going to be very, very tough for them to do anything in the division wild card, especially with the Saints 7-1 now.
7-1.
Yeah.
Beat the
I think the Buccaneers are done. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Jameis Winston, if he ever comes back, or if they just continue with Ryan Fitzpatrick till the end of the year.
I mean, it's really concerning if you're a Buccaneers fan, because, you know, when Jameis came back in week 4 against the Bears in the second half, it was like, okay, you know, we're going to get the season back on track. You know, you had Fitzpatrick, and, you know, you're 2-2, you're getting your quarterback back into the mix, you know, now let's figure things out. And Jameis did just not perform at all, and then you bring Fitzpatrick back, and then you have no sense of direction within the organization, and not even this year, but in the future. You know, I don't even know if this is an organization that wants to stick with Jameis Winston in the future. I mean, he hasn't proven that he can be a guy that can lead this team to the playoffs. I mean, especially after this year, and with all the conflict he's had off the field, it's certainly something to keep an eye on, because when you give up on your franchise quarterback, I know he threw for how many interceptions? 4 interceptions last week. And you give up on your franchise quarterback, it is just not good for the direction of your franchise. And you're at 3-5 now. I mean, you're basically just toying around with it at this point. You know your team has no... I mean, this defense is just... We talk about it every week. They're horrible. But again, 3-5, you're done. Carolina Panthers, 6-2. Now, this is a really interesting stat. The Panthers are 8-0 over the last 2 seasons when Christian McCaffrey has 10-plus carries. Now, that's really strange to me, because I feel like Christian McCaffrey should be getting 10-plus carries per game. But if they're only 8-0 over the last 2 seasons when Christian McCaffrey has 10-plus carries, it means they're only giving him 10-plus carries 8 times over the last 2 seasons. So, yeah. If you're the Carolina Panthers, keep giving the ball to McCaffrey, because they clearly are very successful when they do that. So, the Panthers have scored 35 points in the first half, which was a franchise record. This is a team that looks really strong right now. I love what they have on defense. The addition of Eric Reed has proved to be really nice. He had an interception this week. But this is an offense, too, that's pretty dynamic at this point. And Cam is leading this team. And this is definitely a team that you could, you know, don't count them out of the NFC South playoff race yet. You know, they're only 1 game behind the Saints. Yeah. I know it seems crazy, but they're only 1 game back. But certainly something to keep an eye on in the NFC playoff picture. Let's move on now to another NFC battle, the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Just a pretty dominant defensive performance from the Vikings, winning 24-9, setting the franchise record of sacks against Matt Stafford with 11. The Vikings are now second in the NFC North, 5-3-1. The Detroit Lions have fallen to last place for the second straight week at 3-5. Any takeaways from this one?
This was a sloppy win, I think, for Minnesota.
Yeah, one's talking about that. No one's talking about that.
They got the win, which is always what you look for, but they didn't look great out there. But the good thing for them is Dalvin Cook did return from weeks of being out injured. He had almost 90 yards rushing.
Inflated by a 75-yarder, though.
Still, he looked good out there. He's out there.
According to Next Gen Stats, he was the fastest ball carrier of the season on that 75-yard run.
Yeah, and he got 4 catches. Adam Thielen's streak of 100 receiving yards does end, only 22 yards receiving. But, yeah, the Vikings team, they kind of got bailed out by that fumble on the handoff that led to a touchdown. That really put the game away at that point. But they didn't look great. Kirk Cousins, only 164 yards passing. Not a big day for him. This was just a sloppy NFC North game that ended up working out in the Vikings' favor.
Agreed. And if you look at the Detroit Lions here, and you look at this offense putting up 9 points on 3 field goals, I'm gonna relate it all to one thing. And do you know what that one thing is? He's currently on your team.
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate. I mean, this is just an offense that looked completely out of the ordinary without Golden Tate. And I'm not going to say he was their whole offense and he's going to, you know, wreck their offense for the rest of the year. But it certainly looked different to me without him on the field. I mean, you get sacked 10 times too. I mean, a lot of what they do is, you know, they'll throw those screen routes to Golden Tate. They weren't even doing that because they don't have him. And then, you know, that's going to lead to, you know, 11 sacks. I think it was 11, right? Maybe it's 10. 10. No. But yes.
10 sacks. Yeah.
Was it 10? Could have sworn it was 11. We will never know. All right. But, you know, the Vikings, again, if you're a Vikings fan, 24-9 in a game where you have that many sacks, you probably should win by a little more. The offense was not very impressive. I guess it was nice to see Dalvin Cook going a little bit, but they have a pretty tough stretch coming up. They do have the Bears in 2 weeks on Sunday Night Football, a few division matchups coming up. So definitely something to keep an eye on, but it's not really looking good for the Lions at 3-5 at this point. They're going to have to win a lot of games, probably go, you know, 7-1 to make the playoffs in this division, in this NFC. So 7-1 the next 8 games. I don't really see it happening for the Lions, but I'd say they're done. They got the Bears next week, and then I don't know who they have, but then they got the Bears again on Thanksgiving. So 2 of the next 3 games are against the Bears. Pretty good team in the NFC North, so we'll see what happens with Detroit. We'll move on now to a surprise win in Washington. Atlanta Falcons winning 38-14. I think the biggest storyline of this game is the fact that Julio Jones scored a touchdown. Applause. Congrats, Julio. And it's not even the fact that he was targeted. He wasn't even targeted in the red zone. He was they were at like the 40 and he ran it in. So still targeting, he still is not getting targets in the red zone. But again, regardless, good for him. He absolutely torched Josh Norman throughout the game. But Washington Redskins, not very impressive against a horrible Atlanta secondary who is depleted. What did you see?
Yeah, well, first off, I just want to mention Julio Jones is on pace for over 1,800 yards and only 2 touchdowns. So when you see that and you look at the Falcons' record of 4-4, you see that there might be a problem there when your wide receiver is on pace for over 1,800 yards and only on pace for 2 touchdowns. That's the biggest problem for this Atlanta Falcons team. Matt Ryan is playing very well, but when you're not looking for one of the best wide receivers in the game, in the red zone, the most important spot, it's going to be tough to win. It's as simple as that. True. But, I mean, this Washington team, it appeared to be an easy win for them on paper. They're number one in the NFC East. Coming in, they're 5-2. And they did not perform at all. Their running game did not get going whatsoever. Adrian Peterson, 9 carries for only 17 yards. He had been the key for them so far this season, and it just did not go well for him. Alex Smith actually threw for a ton of yards for him. 300 is a lot for Alex Smith.
The game manager.
Yeah. But he threw the ball 46 times.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what Washington wants, but once again, that's more an issue of the running game just never got going. But the Falcons, it's just like every time that they seem to be completely done, they just stick around for a little bit longer. I still think it's going to be tough for them to get into the playoffs.
I don't think there's any way. I mean, look at this NFC South.
I mean,
I don't think there's any way.
4-4. If they win,
but the Panthers are 6-2 and the Saints are 7-1.
If the Falcons go 6-2 the rest of the way, they're 10-6. I think right.
I don't think they have the ability to do that.
I'm just they could have won some games this year.
Let's go through the remaining schedule.
They could have easily beat the Eagles week one
before all their players got injured. Next week, Falcons at Browns.
Should be a win. Browns are not good.
Cowboys at Falcons. I'm going Cowboys.
Yeah, could be a Falcons.
Falcons at Saints. I'm going to go Saints. Saints. Ravens at Falcons. At home for the Falcons.
I think that's Falcons win.
Could be Falcons win. Falcons at Packers.
Packers.
Probably going to go Packers. Cardinals at Falcons.
Falcons.
Probably Falcons. Falcons at Panthers.
Panthers.
Panthers. Falcons at Buccaneers. So, if we have them losing to the Panthers, the Packers, and the Saints...
I have them at going 5-3 the rest of the way.
5-3 the rest of the way. They're not getting in.
9-7.
They're not getting in at 9. This is, and look at this NFC. Look at this NFC North.
I think you can write the Panthers or the Saints in for either the division crown or the wild card. I think that unless a major collapse happens, which I don't think is likely, I think that one of them is going to get in, but.
There's just too many good teams right now in the NFC, my man. I mean, you got Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, all playoff contenders. Seattle, playoff contender. Carolina, Saints, Rams. Who else do we got? Who else? Eagles, Cowboys, Redskins.
I think one team makes it from the NFC East.
I would agree with that statement.
I think the division winner makes it.
You could see.
I mean, the Packers are 3-4. 3-4-1 right now.
They're not very good, I will say.
Yeah, they have Aaron Rodgers, but
they're not very good.
That's no guarantee. I mean, the man can't do everything.
Let's talk about that game. Green Bay Packers versus New England Patriots. GOAT versus GOAT. Brady versus Rodgers. 31-17 win. It was close until the end, but it was just pretty easy. It was just pretty easy in general for the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick simply just outcoached Mike McCarthy at every facet of the game. Yeah, real shocker, right? But, you know, this is a Green Bay team. You know, you trade away your best defensive player. I don't know what you... They lost a few guys last night, I think. I think Jair Alexander got banged up a few times. You know, this is a team that is just not good enough for Aaron Rodgers to carry them to where they want to be. And at 3-4-1 and possibly the most competitive division in football, I don't think they have a chance of making it.
Yeah, I mean, they're 0-4 on the road right now, so their four losses are all on the road. You got to win some games on the road. Even if you go 8-0 in your own stadium, they can't even do that now. They can go 7 wins, no loss, set a tie.
Yep.
But it was just evident that they were missing a safety, and it was probably because he's wearing a Redskins jersey and playing in Washington right now, because they traded him away. Me personally, I'm just not a big fan of, especially in the NFL, when you know the guy's due for a contract, you just trade him for a fourth round pick. I'm not a big fan of that. I think maybe in another sport, but it didn't do anything for him. They're still in the playoff hunt. Why trade your best or one of your best defensive players just because you don't want to pay him this offseason? It just doesn't make any sense. But Tom Brady just picked them apart. There was nothing huge about any of his plays. It was just simple plays that just picked the defense apart. I think the interesting thing is Cordarrelle Patterson coming out of the backfield a ton for the Patriots.
Because they lost... who did they lose?
I mean...
Some guy went down for them.
Sonny Michel.
Did he start in the game? No, he didn't play.
No, but
in the first place. And they had another guy rushing, didn't they?
They had Barner.
I didn't think he was the primary rusher, and then I think they just started to give it to him later in the game, and he had that drive where he had 51 yards and a touchdown.
They did this a couple of times last week. I think it's actually a smart idea. He always did well he's one of the best kick returners in the league.
Mm-hmm.
When he has space, he's a very elusive player's problem as a wide receiver was always kind of catching, route running, stuff like that. The stuff that wide receivers kind of need to be able to do, but running backs don't necessarily have to do that. Josh Gordon had a big day. A lot of it came on that 55-yard touchdown, but 130 yards.
He's getting targets.
Yeah, which is big to see. He had 10 targets last night, so
yeah,
that's huge. It shows you that he's getting fully integrated into the offense.
God, this offense is scary, man.
But, I mean, just the Packers, they were in it till the end. And I think the main problem was Aaron Jones had been running the ball great, 76 yards rushing. He fumbles, and then you got to do the thing that everybody, every coach loves to do. You got to bench the guy for a series and put the backup running back in. Why? In a close game, you got to go with your best players.
Ridiculous.
To punish a guy when you're in the game is just absolutely stupid, especially when Aaron Jones is a way more capable back than Jamal Williams. It's just, It doesn't make any sense to take your best running back out of the game just because, he fumbled the ball, but at the same time, you're trying to win games. You're not trying to punish players mid-game. It just doesn't make any sense.
Punish him in practice. It's wrong.
It's just Mike McCarthy, I think, is just every single week he coaches himself out of a job more.
I completely agree.
Even if this team makes the playoffs, I don't think he has a shot of keeping his job, I think.
Look, Aaron Jones went 153 touches without fumbling. Yeah. As he entered the league, he had not fumbled until last night, and you punish him for a series? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Again, he's gone. Mike McCarthy, he's gone. This is a team at this point, you know, I'm sorry, Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers carried you for 8 seasons. Yeah, you did nothing special whatsoever. Your defense was carried by whoever the defensive their defensive coordinator, Dom Capers.
Dom
Capers has been great for them at defensive coordinator. Aaron Rodgers is your team, and at this point, this is a team that's not a good enough defense. They've made some questionable front office decisions. Again, I'm not going to talk about it again, but I don't see how you possibly trade one of the best safeties in the league for a fourth-round pick in the middle of a season where you can possibly make the playoffs. It just doesn't make any sense. I think he is gone. This is a Green Bay team that is just not talented enough at this point to make the playoffs. And if you look at the games they've won, it's because Aaron Rodgers has been Aaron Rodgers' miracles down the stretch against the Bears, a terrible 49ers team, and then I don't know what their last win was, but this is a team that's not very good, people, and it's starting to really come together at this point of the season.
And when you have Aaron Rodgers, this is Aaron Rodgers' 11th season starting, and you have one Super Bowl appearance, I mean, Aaron Rodgers possibly one of the most talented quarterbacks.
He is the most talented quarterback. Is the most talented. Emphasis on talented.
Yeah, definitely. This guy, he can throw the ball however he wants, however far he wants. He is the most talented quarterback of all time. And to only go to the Super Bowl one time with him, it's just
bad coaching. And
The fact that he's had his job for this long, Mike McCarthy.
I thought it was going to end last year.
Yeah, and but I don't see any way that he is the Packers head coach next season.
Completely agree. Let's move on. We're going to move on now to, we're going to go to AFC. We've been on the NFC for a while. Let's do Houston at Denver. Pretty interesting game here. Denver was in it till the end. We saw the Texans won 19-17. Actually, they won 6 in a row for the first time since the 1970. Giants has a team won 6 in a row after starting 0-3. But Broncos had a chance to win the game late. They got the ball to the 35, which was the supposed target line, according to Vance Joseph. They did not choose to go any further. Instead, they had trust in Brandon McManus to make that 50 or so yard field goal, and he missed, giving the Texans the win. If he made it, the Broncos would have won. But otherwise, what else did you see from this game, and do you think this Texans team really is a team that can make a run for the playoffs?
I mean, I think they're going to win the division. I think just the AFC South is
just not a very good division.
It's not good. It really hasn't been good for a while. But a bunch of their wins this year, the Texans, have come on last second.
Right.
When they're not beating teams up. I mean, they beat the Cowboys in overtime. They beat the Colts in overtime after the Colts go for it 4th-and-1 at the 50, I think, with like 10 seconds left. Doesn't make any sense there. They beat the Bills by a touchdown. They only beat the Jaguars. They beat the Jaguars by 13 points. And last week they had a big win against the Dolphins by a ton. But it's not like they're beating teams very bad. I mean,
right.
The Broncos should have won yesterday.
The Broncos should have won.
Brandon McManus makes that kick
9 times out of 10. Yeah. He's a very good kicker.
Yeah, a really good kicker. He just missed that one. And it's tough when you miss the game-winning field goal because it's emphasized so much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still don't know how to feel about this Texans team. They are 6-3, 6-game win streak, but they just haven't shown any great flashes like we saw last year. Last year, they were flying all over the place, scoring a ton of points. This year, it's just one game they look good, the next game they barely win. Even at the beginning of the season, I mean, they only scored 22 points against the New York Giants, maybe the second worst or worst team in the league. Like, I don't think they can make a deep run just because I don't think they're going to be able to sustain this luck that they're having of winning these games last-second mistakes or last-second heroics, whatever it be.
I mean, in a game like that, the Broncos gifted you the win. You didn't really do anything to earn that win in the end. But, you know, you lose to the Titans with Blaine Gabbert early in the season. You lose to the 1-7 New York Giants early in the season. I mean, they have some really bad losses. And I know it's hard to win in the NFL. I know there's going to be bad losses here and there. But again, they're not doing what they did last year. This is a team that, you know, they have a nice defense, but we're just not seeing enough from them and what they could and should be doing. So we'll see. I mean, at this point, just because of the division they're in, they're going to make the playoffs because the next best team in that division is 3-4. So you're probably going to see them get in simply because of the weakness of the AFC South. But I still do think the Jaguars will make a late run when Leonard Fournette comes back, and they will beat the Texans the next time they play them. But you can't look that far ahead as of now, and as of now, they're in a position to make the playoffs. But, you know, Denver, you're 3-6 now. You know, Vance Joseph may get fired, but this is another team that doesn't have a great sense of direction with their team because of Case Keenum. He's just not a guy that can get him over the edge right now. Most people knew he wouldn't be the guy he was in Minnesota, and he has proven to not be that guy. So you may see them draft a guy or something like that, but I mean, they drafted Chad Kelly and cut him because of the whole incident, so that was a complete waste, but he was a later round pick anyway.
Is Paxton Lynch still even on the roster?
He is not on the roster, I do not believe. You can fact check that for me.
I mean, that was a guy they traded up for in the first round.
In the first round. I do not believe
he's And it's just, it's interesting that one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time can't figure out how to get a quarterback. Yeah, I believe he's with the Broncos. He just hasn't played at all.
Okay. So he's still with them, but again, if he was who they thought he was, they would have not even signed Case Keenum in the offseason. They would have said, we're going with Paxton Lynch in the start of this season. But I mean, he's a first-round pick, right?
Yeah.
Usually your first-round pick would start the next season if he sets out his first one.
Oh, no, he is a free agent.
He is a free agent, right?
He was.
Okay, that's what I thought.
He was cut.
All right, he was cut. Okay. So, I mean, that's a wasted first rounder. The drafting is not, I mean, Bradley Chubb is nice, but the drafting has not been very good for Denver. I wouldn't say it's been great, and this is a team right now that needs to figure a few things out. I mean, they have a nice defense, but if they want to be successful, they're going to have to improve at the quarterback position and wide receiver. They just let go of Demaryius Thomas, so we'll see what they do in the future. Let's move on now to one of our final few games. Los Angeles Chargers at Seattle Seahawks. Not a lot to take away from this game except for the fact that the Chargers are now 6-2, still one game back in the AFC West. I said it a few weeks ago, and I'm going to keep saying it. I do think they win the AFC West over the Chiefs. I just think they're the more complete team. This is a Chiefs team that is still has a bad defense, and this Chargers team, I mean, they're playing great football without Joey Bosa. Phillip Rivers still continues to impress. I mean, Melvin Gordon didn't even have a great game, and they still were able to beat a surging Seattle Seahawks team. What did you see from this one?
Yeah, the Chargers actually got a little bit lucky in this game. They missed the first extra point, go for two.
Oh, they did cut Caleb Sturgis. Yes.
Then they get a pick six and miss the extra point again. Seahawks were only down by a touchdown when Russell Wilson throws that pick six. Russell Wilson has to lead them all the way back down the field, score a touchdown real quick. I believe, did they get the ball back?
They got the ball back. They had the ball at like the 3 yard line and they just were not able to convert on fourth down.
I believe.
Oh, actually, it was a great pass. Dropped.
Pass interference, yes. Right?
So they went deep to Tyler Lockett with 0 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
And it was pass interference. So they got the ball at the spot of the foul, which is like the 3 yard line. They ran a great play. Great ball from Russell Wilson. I think it might have been tipped by the cornerback, but it was hit the hands of the receiver. I don't remember. Number 83. I don't remember his name. Dropped by him. A loss for the Seahawks. But even if they had got that touchdown, they would have had to go for a two-point conversion as well, but certainly gave themselves a chance to win it down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, the Seattle Seahawks, I still think that they are a team that can make the playoffs. When they got KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner back, that defense showed what they can be. This is a pretty close game against a good, very good Chargers team, but you know, the Russell Wilson pick six is, that's unfortunate. He is only his second pick six of the season, and he only had one in his previous career. But, you know, Chargers, Phillip Rivers looking like an MVP candidate. This is a very complete team. Look out for them in the playoff race. Let's move on now to the game of the week. The one everyone talked about, the Battle of the Bayou. In the Bayou or of the Bayou? In the Bayou.
Probably in the Bayou.
It wouldn't be of the Bayou. That just doesn't make
sense.
Yeah,
that would be two.
It is the battle
teams.
In the Bayou. In Louisiana. In New Orleans. What a game from the New Orleans Saints. They beat the Los Angeles Rams 45-35. The Los Angeles Rams were previously the only undefeated team in the NFL, but they have now dropped to 8-1 after a loss. And the Saints look dang good. After this one, we saw Michael Thomas, highlight of the game, might have been Michael Thomas, pull a flip phone from under the goalpost in tribute to Joe Horn. That was really cool, although it did give him a 15-yard penalty that a lot of people were upset about. Well,
yeah, could have cost him the game.
Could have cost him the game, actually. But because it didn't, everyone thinks it's cool. He hit a phone at both goalposts just in case. But takeaways from this one, as the Saints may be the best team in the National Football League.
Yeah. This game, it was going back and forth for a little bit. Second quarter, both teams had turnovers. Saints score a touchdown, then the Rams missed the field goal. Saints score another touchdown, get an interception, score another touchdown. It looked like they had taken control of the game. They were leading 35-17. At the half, after the Rams went down the field for a late field goal. But it looked like it was their game at the half. But then the Rams came out. They started playing some defense. And they made this thing interesting. But, man, Drew Brees, he's been in the league for a long time. And this man just keeps playing like he's...
This is his last year.
A new player. He's 39 years
but
old.
But he is just...
And he might win the MVP this year.
He might win the MVP.
This Saints team is rolling. They lose week one and everybody's like, oh, were they a fluke last year? No. They just picked up where
seven
they left
in
off
a row
after that win. And they've been playing lights out for a while now. I thought the Rams were going to lose this game. I didn't see them. They couldn't win every game, obviously, but this Saints team, I think this was their biggest test, and
they didn't
perform well. The Rams didn't perform well, but the Saints stepped up, and they might have taken a hold of the claim for best team in the NFC after this game.
I completely agree. This team is very good. They're starting to look like a more complete... I know the Rams dropped 35 points on them, but this is a really good Rams offense. I guess you still be a little bit concerned about the secondary because the run defense is still number one in the NFL. They held Tagovailoa to under 100 yards, but the secondary is still a little concerning despite the signing of Eli Apple. That's something to keep an eye on, but for this team, it's all about the offense. Sean Payton is just insanely creative. Alvin Kamara, every time I watch him, it's just ridiculous how he gets open and how he makes plays. Breeze is continuing to be the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. Michael Thomas, franchise record, 211 receiving yards. But, I mean, this is just a team that looks pretty complete. They beat a very good Rams team. At home, they're just so dangerous. Interesting stat here. Two interesting stats. Todd Gurley is really dang good, but he has been held under 100 rushing yards in 8 of his 9 career games versus top 5 run defenses. So,
interesting.
Todd Gurley sucks, all right, people? He's terrible. He doesn't do good again. Now, all joking aside, that is just, you know, one of those things where good defenses are going to be good defenses. They're going to stop the run, and the Saints did that. They are number one. And Breeze versus top defenses is 10-2 against teams ranked in the top 10 for defense since 2016. So Breeze continues to light it up no matter who he plays. This is just a very good Saints team. They are no fluke. Possible NFC matchup, NFC championship preview in this game.
This is big for the end of the season because right now these two teams look like they're the one and two teams in the NFC.
But the Saints but now hold the tiebreaker for home field advantage, which is huge because
head-to-head tiebreaker is way more important than any other tiebreaker for the most part. When you get, without the head-to-head, you get down to a bunch of random tiebreakers that don't really make a lot of sense. But this is huge for the Saints. Now they have a pretty clear way or pretty clear path to getting to home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which is huge because they are an exceptional team at home. Their loss did come at home, but that was early in the season. They've rebounded from that, and it could be big all the way through the playoffs.
It's huge because this is a Saints team that's very different on the road. They're better this year on the road, but if you look at them on the road this year, they beat the Giants. That's not great. They beat the Falcons in overtime. They beat the Ravens by one at in Baltimore. They did beat the Vikings by 10. But nonetheless, this is a team that is just way better at home. I'm not saying they're bad on the road, but they're just way better at home. The Superdome, you know, they go crazy down there in New Orleans, and it would be absolutely huge for them if the NFC ran through New Orleans rather than Los Angeles. So we'll see how that plays out. Both teams right now are going to battle it out the rest of the season. We'll see who will take that number one seed in the NFC. But that just about does it for Week 9. We have the Monday Night Football matchup tonight, the Tennessee Titans at the Dallas Cowboys. This will be Amari Cooper's first game as a Dallas Cowboy. We will finally see the effect he will have on this offense. You know, after seeing Josh Gordon last night put up the numbers he did, and he was exchanged for a fifth-round pick, it's going to take a lot for Amari Cooper for people to think this is a value.
Golden Tate for a third.
We'll see what he does next week.
Fourth-round pick, I believe.
Demaryius Thomas looked fine, but Amari Cooper is going to have to put up a lot for people to validate that exchange, that trade for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to do one last thing here. You are going to give me your top five teams in the NFL. I will start, though, with my top five. Most of them are NFC teams, but this is no particular order because once you get into the top five, it's very hard, I think, to put them in that order. But we're going to go with the New England Patriots. They have proven that they are back. They had a rough start to this season, but Bill Belichick is just too much of a genius. This defense has gotten so much better, and quite frankly, people, you're going to see the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. We're going to go with the New Orleans Saints. I think they're, we just talked about them. Very complete, very explosive. We're going to go with the Los Angeles Rams. I know they lost, still 8-1, still arguably the best team in the NFL. We're going to go with... Should I do it, Ryan? Should I do it?
I don't know.
Should I put the Chicago Bears in the top five all unbiased? I mean...
No, let me, you let me, should not
okay,
do
first
that.
Of all, Matt Nagy right now is a Coach of the Year candidate. I just want to put that out there. And, oh my God, I might do it, people. I might do it. I mean, this defense is number one in the NFL. They're so dang good. They scored more points than the Buffalo offense without Khalil Mack. Oh my God, they are very good. Chicago Bears, they're in the top five, maybe six or seven. I'll put them at number five. They're just, this defense is dominating, and this offense can get it done. Special teams is great. I don't know if you saw Tariq Cohen's run, but it was unbelievable. Jordan Howard's getting going. Mitch Trubisky's developing. Again, they have a plus 46-point differential in their last two games without Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson. This is a dangerous team. We'll see how they do the rest of the week, the rest of the season. They have three huge games coming up. That will dictate their year. Last, I'm going to do the Kansas City Chiefs, just barely inching out the Los Angeles Chargers. This is a Chiefs team that has stepped it up on defense. We know what they can do on offense, and they're looking like a force right now if the defensive efficiency continues. Ryan, give me your top five in the NFL as of week nine.
I'm going to go Patriots for obvious reasons, Saints and Rams for obvious reasons. Chiefs, I'm going to put at four, and I'm going to put the Los Angeles Chargers at five.
I like that. I like that.
I would not put the Bears anywhere close to
Whoa,
that.
Whoa, anywhere close?
No.
Within the top 10?
Maybe top 10.
Why? Can you tell me why?
Because 12 teams make the playoffs, and the Bears might make the playoffs.
This is a very good Bears team, Ryan.
I'll take the Steelers over the Bears.
Tell me a flaw in the Bears that you don't like.
Mitch Trubisky.
Why? What has he done that's been unimpressive the past few weeks? Why?
His accuracy is very poor.
He actually has the 10th highest completion percentage in the NFL. All
right. Well, Sam Bradford broke the completion percentage record a couple years ago, and he averaged about 4 yards a pass. So.
All right. Well. Doesn't Mitch Trubisky is currently, the Bears are currently outside of the top 15 in short pass yards and quarterback yards going for yards after the catch. So, therefore, stats are proving your point and valid.
Carolina is better than the Bears.
I don't think so. Mitch Trubisky throws a few bad throws here and there. This is a more complete Chicago Bears offense. This is a terrorizing defense. They have the impact players on defense and offense to make a run. They have the best defensive player in the league. They have possibly the best running back tandem in the league. Who's better?
I can't think of off the top of my head, but there's no chance they have possibly Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen 1 and 2.
Well, then tell me who's better. One. Who's better? Let's go through it. Who's better? New Orleans? Maybe? I mean, Mark Ingram. Okay. I'll give you New Orleans.
Right now, Mitchell Trubisky is the second leading rusher on the Bears.
Okay.
That and does it, not.
Why does that concern you?
Because that doesn't give me promise for Howard and Cohen being the top running tandem in the league.
That has nothing to do with Howard and Cohen. The Mitch Trubisky runs this year, he's gotten most of his runs off of broken down plays. I mean,
that means that he's scrambling better than Cohen's running design plays for him. Cohen had 5 rushes for 6 yards this week.
What did Jordan Howard do? 2 touchdowns.
Touchdowns don't mean a lot.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess touchdowns don't mean
you
anything anymore in the NFL.
You can fall forward and get a touchdown
at the
1 yard line.
He also ran for an 18-yard touchdown, but let's not talk about that either. And again, Mitch Trubisky running adds a dynamic to the offense. I don't know why you're bashing it. It's a good thing.
Because he doesn't have good accuracy on the move.
What are you talking about? He has one of the best play-action passer ratings in the NFL.
Play-action passing is not on
that's
the move.
On, yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's putting your hand
he
out
has,
to draw the
he
safety
has, he
in.
Has one of the best. He has one of the best passer ratings outside of the pocket. according to NFL Matchup on ESPN. Look it up. I look at that stuff every day. Mitch Trubisky is very good out of the pocket. I don't know what you are talking about. Sometimes he makes bad throws. He doesn't get his feet set. Yeah, but that he's still in the second year, in the first year in this offense. They're
21st in passing yards per game. Okay. 17th in yards per game.
Okay. And yeah,
that doesn't give me a lot of promise for them to be a top five team. It doesn't matter how
this is.
If you're in the bottom half of the league in offense, in passing yards and total yards.
What about points per game? Where are we in points per game? I'm pretty sure we're top five. Yeah, because
that
takes
into account all the pick sixes that you guys get and all the
Pick sixes we get. You only have three on the year. I mean, two pick sixes on the year. I don't even know how many touchdowns, but this is a. I don't know what you. I think this team is just one of the most talented teams, as far as talent goes. One of the most talented teams in the NFL, and that's not even undisputed. You can't even dispute against that. I mean, talent wise, this defense is the number one and number two defense in the NFL.
Defense is really good.
Their defense is really good.
I'm not.
Look, when we made the NFC Championship in 2010, Jay Cutler was our starting QB. When we made the Super Bowl in 2006, Rex Grossman was our starting QB. And this defense this year may be better than both of those defenses in 2006 and 2010, and we have more playmakers on offense. You cannot tell me that this team does not have a chance to make a run in the playoffs and be a top five team in the NFL with this defense and with an offense that is better than both of those teams in 2010 and in 2006. Undisputed. That is it.
No.
I don't know how you can dispute against that.
I wouldn't even put the Bears in the top 10 of talented offenses.
I said talented team overall.
Okay, but
football's a team sport, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, when it comes down to the playoffs, you need talent on both sides of the ball. The defense isn't going to help you.
In 2006 and 2010, we had Jay Cutler and Rex Grossman.
Jacksonville last year.
Who is their quarterback? Who is Jacksonville's quarterback? Yeah. If you want to bash Mitch Trubisky, he's better than Blake Bortles, isn't he?
Yeah, but you didn't let me talk.
Okay, go ahead.
The Jaguars easily had the best defense in the league last year.
Okay.
And they gave up 42 points to the Steelers in the playoffs. Why were the Jaguars still able to win? Because they had talent on offense.
Oh, really? What do they have?
Leonard Fournette. Give me Leonard Fournette over Jordan Howard.
Okay. I agree with that. Who else?
Marquise Lee was producing.
Oh, Marquise Lee! I'll take Trey Burton over. Oh, Marquise Lee, wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
I'll take Allen Robinson over Marquise Lee. Go on.
Okay. Jaguars.
Yep. Okay.
More talented.
I don't know about that. Listen, the Jaguars may have had a more talented defense this year, but this Bears defense compares to that Jaguars defense last year. Mitchell Trubisky is astronomically better than Blake Bortles. I'm taking the design and that scheme of Matt Nagy over Jacksonville any day of the week. This offense, Anthony Miller, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, there is endless possibilities to this offense. You cannot tell me this team does not have a chance to make a run in the playoffs. Sure, it might be risky to put them in your top five, but it is undisputed that they can make a run and that they are one of the most talented teams in the NFL.
Nope.
Okay. I just don't see how you
they can, don't have a top 10 quarterback.
Okay.
They don't have a top 5 running back. Probably have a bottom half of the league wide receiver.
Oh, I would disagree with that.
Not including tight ends.
I would disagree with that.
Flat out wide receivers.
If you look at
Allen Robinson is the number one wide receiver. He's probably the worst wide receiver out of their group. Taylor Gabriel is third on their depth chart.
Taylor Gabriel has played more than Allen Robinson, and they're able to do more things with Taylor Gabriel. It's like you go down. Okay, if you went down to Kansas City and 4 years ago, when Tyreek Hill came into the league, you would probably say, like, okay, Sammy Watkins is a better receiver than Tyreek Hill, right? Because he's bigger. You know, Tyreek Hill's, you know, not as big. He can't go up and get the ball. Well, now look at that. In that offense, Tyreek Hill has become astronomically better than Sammy
Hill
Watkins because of that offense. Okay, he did produce. But at the point, if you're looking at wide receivers, you're like, oh, yeah, Sammy Watkins is better. He's bigger. He can go up and get the ball. This is an offense that is complete. This is a defense that is complete. There's so much they can do.
No. I'm not even.
Okay, you may not say that they.
I can't argue that.
They're not complete?
Their offense is not complete whatsoever.
Oh my goodness gracious. I cannot believe this guy's saying this. They're not complete. They have three playmakers at wide receiver. Anthony Miller, Taylor Gable, and Robinson. They have a playmaker at tight end.
Why are they 17th in yards per game?
Total offensive yards per game? Their defense is very good. They don't get the ball. Who is in the lower half? Who else is below the Chicago Bears in yards per game?
The Cardinals, the Bills, the Titans, the Jets, the Seahawks. Dolphins, Cowboys, okay. Seahawks, Redskins, Bengals, Browns, Jaguars, Lions, Giants, Raiders, 49ers.
Okay, well, who has the best point?
Not good teams.
Look.
Not a lot of good teams there.
Who has the best point differential in the NFC? North. The Chicago Bears. It's done. Chicago Bears are a complete team, no matter what you say about it. That's it. Best of week 9. Bye. We will see you guys next week.